Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he gathers. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrew.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lake.
We are Hebrew.
I love my sisters.
Hallelujah. I love my sisters. Bless y'all. Bless y'all. Bless y'all. Thank you so much for your time, your attention. Give me some tens. If you hear me in the chat room tonight, I'm Ashley Bell. Hallelujah. The daughter of Pastor Dow, the wife of Deacon Bell, the host of tonight's show. Hallelujah. Thank you for chiming in. I see your shaloms. Bless you to everyone who ever puts a comment in there, everyone who listens quietly too, anyone who's never put a comment, but you're always there. Bless you to communities who gather together to hear the show. Thank you so much. Yah has been so good to me. He's never let me down. He's never stopped allowing me to repent. He's always watching and proving his faithfulness to me. He has given me a great family. Hallelujah. And he's taught me many, many things. And by all means, I'm still being perfected. I'm not at an end. And so I share my perfection with you at times on the show. So thanks for tuning in tonight. We'll have an interesting dialogue for certain. I have some really interesting clips. Thanks for your attendance. Let's jump to Georgia, our mother of Israel. Bless you, Mother Jennifer. Thanks for joining us tonight. And please give us a sound check.
Bless you, Sister Ashley, and blessings to all you daughters of Zion. It's really good to be here. Thank you so much for having me on with you, Sister Ashley. I pray that everyone is doing well. I can hear you very well. And blessings to your listening audience. I don't know who you have with you tonight, but it's always a pleasure to have the Daughters of Zion sitting with you. And I see tens in the chat room, so I think we can go ahead and move forward.
Hallelujah. Can my audience say shalom?
Shalom.
Glory. Come on up, Sister Amanda. I want you to be the first one to give an acknowledgement. She has something she wants to say and say hi to. I don't even know what it is, so please come on up. Please come on up. Bless you.
Hallelujah.
All right. Talk loud, okay? All right.
All right. Well, first off, I just want to give all glory, honor, and praise to the Most High for opening our eyes and ears. Very grateful for him.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful for the order, his perfect order that he's been showing me. Hallelujah. I'm grateful for Yahweh creating this big heart in the man of Yah, Charles Dow, Pastor Charles Dow. And I thank you, Yahweh, for just being able to give him utterance and the knowledge and understanding to teach the men, and in turn for them to teach us, to lead, instruct, and to build us women. And elders' wives, pastors' wives, you women of Yah, y'all are the real MVPs. I really appreciate y'all. I just want to thank you guys so much for your true examples of real love. I never got that in the world, not even from my sister, blood sister. I've never seen real love from a woman, much less a man, but from a woman we're talking about right now. So it's really rare, and it's really, really appreciative. It's really refreshing to experience real love from my sisters. Thank y'all for your great example of how we should be as women, when most of us have never been taught how to be a real woman or to act or look like a real woman. So I'm so grateful for y'all. Thank you so much for making it easy to love y'all.
Hallelujah.
And forgive my voice. I got deliverance. I'm so happy.
Hallelujah.
A little more freer today. Hallelujah.
Hey, let's get a hallelujah from the crowd.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yeah.
And thank you for my freedom workers. Mother Carol today, thank you so much. Sister Ashley, always, thank you so much for
hallelujah.
Helping me reach that freedom as well. Granny Diane, Granny Barb, everyone who's helped me ever in achieving my freedom. Hallelujah. Bless y'all. Love y'all so much.
Hallelujah. Give all glory, praise, and honor to the Most High Yah for her testimony and for every testimony you guys have sent in. We have some in the queue in our emails, and we just want to pull them up every time we need it, every time we want to fill a show with it. They're all right there still sitting in the inbox, so thank you so much. I want to acknowledge the Most High Yah for his dietary laws. Hallelujah. His customs and traditions, the things that he allowed to get passed down by the pen of the scribes or by even King James himself. I just want to thank the Father that I even have his word in my heart and that I can even sit it before me and read it. I'm thankful for the dynamic and the ministry of his people, his ministers of fire. I'm thankful for his shepherd after his own heart. I am truly grateful to learn, you know, how to be a woman, how to be ladylike, how to be a friend, how to be a sister. I didn't know, just like all of you, I didn't know how much of a shambles life was or my mind was, my circumstance and all those things. You know, you just keep running. You just keep living after oppression. You get used to it. And when tides turn and things turn around and Yah gives you a family, he is to be praised for that. I consider him as my father. And if you've ever meditated on a father's heart, and I have a father in my home, he's the father of the children that I bear, and he shows me a very interesting dynamic of a man
And a man longs to be a father, and a man longs to have a family. And if you consider that attribute about our Creator and how special our dynamics are as His creation in order to be pleasing to Him, you know, to be a son and daughter, to please His heart, and for Him to get pleasure out of His own family, you know, to think like Him and to have His mind. My husband has been very instrumental in teaching me our Creator's mind. I'm very thankful that I have a husband that's completely opposite of me and so Christ-like, because it's given me such a goal to strive and attain to throughout our marriage and our years. I appreciate all of our differences. He's never yelled at me. We've never been in an argument. He's never raised his voice, maybe only to shout through a wall to get me to come here. We just have a beautiful thing going on. I really, really accredit that to, of course, our Creator and our Father, but through the ministry of Straightway, through the dynamics of the family structure that's being ministered here. Without that, we couldn't produce, you know. We couldn't produce, and I'm thankful. I'm very, very, very thankful to be a part of the family of the Most High Yah, and to everyone that He chooses to put into that family. I pray that we are all learning the respect in our roles as daughters, as sisters one to another, as friends, you know, who we should be one to another, and how we should care for each other as we care for Christ. And whatsoever we do unto one another is also unto Him. So, hallelujah. Blessed be His holy name. Let's jump to you, Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. I want to acknowledge the Most High Yah for continually keeping me during this this dead season, for allowing me to be His daughter, for knowing me, and for revealing to me continually who I am in Him, continually giving me what I need, and, you know, including the proper things to really meditate on. He truly has equipped each and every one of us with everything we need to keep our minds sound and continue to really focus on Him. And I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, who is a very sound strength support here in Georgia, and not only to Georgia, but to, you know, everyone abroad. And I see the work that he puts in. I see how very little he sleeps. I see the fact that he doesn't complain. I see the love that he has for the saints. I see the love that he has for the man of Yah, the commitment that he has for Yah to serve him no matter what, the dedication that he has in his heart to serve Yah no matter what. And it really is an example, not only to me, but to the people as well. And I will follow him until my very, very last day. And to our man of Yah, Pastor Dow, you know, it's a privilege to be a woman in this ministry. And I just want to say that I've never been a part of anything where I have found or seen men operate in such discernment, such wisdom, such love, so much protection placed over the daughters of Zion. And it's because our shepherd follows the vein of our father. So blessings to you, Pastor Dow, and blessings to your entire household for your commitment to the Father and your love for the people. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I think this is like the third week in a row. Somebody's got to be listening out there that's curious about the name Jesus or Yeshua. It pops up in my mind as soon as we, like, do our introduction, or we're just, you know, giving our acknowledgments and kicking off the show, and it'll come to my mind. And for this is like the third week that it was in my heart, even this morning when I woke up. It's not going to be what we talk about on the show, obviously, but I do want to give a little plug in here for our newsletters, okay? You can go to straightwaytruth.com, and you can find our newsletters on Unclean Foods, The Name of Yahweh, One Wife, or... I'll say it like that, the Lord's Day, the Star of David, Teach Seats, the Earth, Jezebel birthdays, lots of newsletters. And, yeah, it would keep you busy for a while just digging into the foundation of who we are. But as far as Jesus and Yeshua, you can intricately search into Pastor Dow or Straightway Live on YouTube, find some teachings. He just even did one recently, and you'll learn a little bit about the pronunciation. We know that Moshe and the prophets of Israel did not speak today's Hebrew, okay? We know that the Jews are pretenders. We know that there were, you know, at least four different just ancient Hebrew passed down four times, you know, from Paleo to Proto to Aramaic to Masoretic or Modern, you know, which is now to the Germanic stuff. I don't even want to sound like I got it all in my mind or figured out for certain, but I want to play something. It's 30 seconds long. It's called The Lord's Prayer in Old English. You'll find this. My first acknowledgement of it or introduction of it was Pastor's newsletter and him giving it to me at one point a long time ago. I had came over to his house, it was years ago, and he said, check this out, see if you can read it. The Lord's Prayer was in, this was 1,000 years ago, okay, this is like 995 A.D. So listen to this for 35 seconds or so. The Lord's Prayer, everybody knows that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear what it is like 1,000 years ago, okay?
Fara ura, duze erton hevanon. To become a Zinricha, Giorsa, Zinwila, on Erthon, Suaswa, on Hebenon, Una Gedewan Lichen Hol, Sila Us today, Forgivus Ubiltus, Suaswa, we forgive Umrum Giltedon, and Negilan, Thu Os Un Post Nunga, Akalus Us.
Amazing, right? I don't even have to finish it up. Amazing, right, Tammy?
Yeah.
Right? And so through transliteration, things have changed. Please check out the pronunciation breakdown that Pastor has on the newsletter if you're interested. From Yeshua to Yesu to Isu to Isu, Jesus, all the way down. The name Jesus is a transliteration of the Hebrew name Yeshua. And Yeshua is a shortened form of Yehoshua, Joshua. All right? And the name Yeshua literally means salvation. But it's much more simple than a lot of things that maybe even be in your mind or your head, or you may just wonder, why do we say what we say? Why do we say Yahweh, you know? And this comes from Exodus chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, when Yah said, I am that I am, Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh, I am that I am, Yahweh, okay? So we know letters drop and things change, and a name is identification, so it is us identifying our Yah. But at the same time, please always remember that the Spirit knows the communication of the heart. Okay, the Spirit of Yah is not like unto man, and he knows the communication of the heart, the sincerity of the heart. All right, so I hope you don't get up in the, you know, get caught up in the sacred name things, right? It can get pretty steep. So, hallelujah. We got some good newsletters. Any announcements, Mother Jennifer?
I have no announcements, Sister Ashley. I have nothing.
Hallelujah. All right. So this is what I ask y'all to do. I could have done it earlier. Please grab paper and pencil if you don't have it already, if you want to participate. I got something I want to kick off the show with tonight. Now, this is how I want us to kind of think. Remember, even at the beginning of the show, I'm undone myself, you know. I speak before you. I'm an earthen vessel, too. I have Yah's spirit moving in me, and he's not finished with me. So you're listening to women who is having Yah work in them and with them, too. So I want to play some clips. I know last week we played clips at the end of the show, and we'll flip it up and play them at the beginning this time, and then we'll do our dialogue later. And I know it is the goodness of Yah that leads us to repent. Like, let that sink in. Shout out to Sister Brittany, who comes to my mind a couple of times. Bless you, Sister Brittany. Thank you for listening and supporting. Stand strong. Don't go nowhere. Stay holy. So it is the goodness of Yah that has led you to repent. Mother Jennifer, do you agree?
Absolutely, Sister Ashley. And without it, you know, there would be nothing in us that would even know how to repent or even desire to repent. So I can't even give myself credit for even that. Sister Ashley?
Y'all know we're living in a generation where there's a great divide and iniquities abounding, and the love of many is waxing cold, and we're striving with all that we know how to love one another and to come into the unity of faith. We have to be very aware of our spiritual communication within our minds, and we've been taught to repent for our very thoughts that go against the will of the Father. And so what I would like to bring attention to is that inside communication that you have. For example, I'm going to play about 7 clips. And during those 7 clips, some are very short, some are maybe 3 or 4 minutes at the longest. I'm going to ask you, Mother Jennifer, to write down how you feel. Now, in Straightway Ministry and amongst a lot of us sisters, we really shy away from that kind of communication. How do you feel? How do you feel? How do you feel? Because we know where our feelings have gotten us. But at the same time, we are sensitive creatures and weaker vessels, and we are given over to, we were created to feel. Okay, so we don't want to deny our very being and existence. So how do you feel just simply means what is coming up in the spirit of your mind. Now, everyone out there who's participating or even in this audience, in this room, you're not going to have to voice out loud what your spirit says. Maybe you might hear this on the repeat or hear it later because you're driving or you're busy with your children, and maybe you want to sit down and do it then because it's a good barometer of where you are. And that dialogue inside your mind, when you hear the man of Yah in these clips, that dialogue inside your mind is the work that he's committed to finishing in you, right? And so it's not going to be, oh, I'm good. I don't got nothing going on. I don't hear nothing, right? It's going to be a lot of just truth. You just write down your truth. If you've overcome in areas and you no longer have a voice in areas, if you've really died a lot to your flesh, if you're mature, which I would expect, as we all do, Mother Jennifer, to be honest, and she's not going to have the kick that some of you may have or maybe we even once had, you know? So just pay close attention, and if, perchance, all of heaven were judging you based on how your inner man were hearing, it's pretty fearful to consider, right? So I'm going to jump to the first clip. You ready, Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. I'm ready, Sister Ashley.
Thank you, ma'am. You are just going to tell me how you feel. So once I stop it, you'll be ready, right?
Yes, I'll be ready.
All righty. All right. Let me get myself ready. Hallelujah. Ha-ha. I hear you, Chef. Here we go. I hope we can hear.
There are women out there. Sure, there are good, submissive, obedient women. That's the way, that's the woman's role. At least, because I use the Bible as my guide, but that's the woman's role. All right? But then, there are monsters out there, and the monsters are the ones that hate me. They are the ones who got the loud mouth. In other words, let me give you an example. You would never see my wife, Sister Carol, get on here and trying to preach and teach to men. You would never see my wife get on here having a YouTube fight, video fight with men. You'll never see it. And you will never see, if I choose to have 50 wives, you will never see neither one of them on here doing nothing like that. You know why? Because I'm a man. I'm a man that has my house in order, period. And I'm not looking for the a public approval. I'm not looking for the public opinion. I don't give a damn about the public opinion. I truly don't. I do care about getting the truth out to people. But the problem we have today is that women just simply have lost their way. These boogers, they're not submissive. Now, when I'm talking to a woman that is very submissive and a woman that is very obedient, you have to understand, I'm talking about an enigma in this hour that we're living in. And for the most part, every single woman that I've met like that, be it in the ministry or out of the ministry, they have happy homes, they have happy lives, their husbands are happy. She is happy to have a head over her, a man that is patriarchal. She's happy. The children are happy. You know why? Because they are functioning in their roles. But what we got today is we got women trying to be like men. They try to walk like men, talk like men, act like men, be like men. I mean, the whole night, they're trying to do it all, just like men. Those are the women you want to stay away from. Anytime you come up with a woman, come up against a woman, and she's doing a lot of this. I'm very leery about women on the internet who are doing a lot of this, especially if they're trying to teach the Bible or and they're trying to teach men or any of that. It is off the chain. Listen, American society, just because we're here in this society don't mean that the society is right as a whole. Now, again, you can pick and choose to live the way you want to live, but most of you are disturbed by people out here, especially these non-submissive mistress monsters of women.
All right, that was clip number one. I have five people in my audience. Did anyone or everyone hear something inside them that was not being said by Pastor's voice? Yes? Did you hear a voice? Thoughts?
Yeah.
Thoughts? Yeah, thoughts. Yeah, no, I'm not saying against at all. Just a voice, right? Yes. Yeah. Let me clarify. So everyone understands that internal communication, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mother Jennifer, how did you feel and what did you hear? What do you want to share?
I felt extremely thankful to listen to Pastor's words. I felt thankful because I am in my role. And, you know, I think about the world and how there's such a role reversal in the world. And men are being stripped from their masculinity, and women are being put into the position of men. And so it just really puts a level of gratitude in my heart to have leaders who provide order in their home, you know, to have a husband who provides order in his home. And it makes me thankful that, you know, real men don't care about people's emotions or their opinions, especially women. They don't care about the emotions of women, which is what makes him a man of strength. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Are all five of you pleased that his family, his women that support him, don't get out on social media and carry themselves as men?
Yes.
All right, let's go to the next clip. You ready, Mother Jennifer?
I'm ready.
All right, if you're just tuning in, we're doing a how does your spirit respond with each clip that I play. If you want to write it in, write it down, think about it, go back later and see what you even hear. How does your spirit internally communicate to you and respond with each of these clips? Do you have agreement with what you're hearing? All right, next clip.
None of our women, none of our children dwell in fear. None of them do. They all at peace. Now, you ought to see the difference. You should see the difference in our sisters, their demeanor, their character, and their face as opposed to the way you look out there. You ought to see it. And again, I say, I know it's hard to believe, but straightway, well over half the community have college degrees. They either have college degrees or they have been veterans or they own their own businesses. I know it's hard to believe. It's hard, but I'm telling you, we're surrounded by what the world would call intelligent people. So if you want to be intelligent, if you actually want to advance in life, then you listen to wise people. You don't take advice from fools. And you definitely don't want to take no advice from any of these quackling chicken women out here. Ooh, boy, sometimes I can't even take it. I see a video and I see a woman, she's talking. I'm like, oh, God, I'm out. I'm done. I'm done. First of all, I don't even see that. Are you following me? Because, again, I don't see it. Most women that I have known and met in the world, they would love to be in the position the way our sisters are. Chase keepers at home, guiding the house, and rearing and raising the children with our morals, our values, and our ethics, which mostly comes from the scripture. And I'll tell you, they don't have no need of anything. What if that man step out on that? We're men of honor. I know it's hard to believe, but in this generation, but we're men of honor and men of integrity. We take care of our homes and stuff. But
hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, how did you feel?
You know, as he was talking, Sister Ashley, I could picture the women of Straightway. I could picture the smiles that I see, the joy that I see on the women of Straightway. And it's true that none dwell in fear. And I can say that, again, feeling of gratitude that I, too, have such security here, that there's no fear, no need to dwell in fear at all. I thought about how we are accused, we as women are accused a lot of you know, being brainwashed or whatever the words they use out there nowadays. But just I think about those accusations that come against the ministry. And, you know, as Pastor was rolling down the fact that, you know, these women have college degrees and they own businesses and, you know, their demeanor and their character and their faces, there's so much peace. I could just literally see the peace on the faces of the daughters of Zion, the women. And so we are able to draw a conclusion based on having such a sound mind, and we never have to dwell in fear compared to what women do out there in the world. They're just surviving, and they're barely doing that. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I'm going to give you a story that I heard. There is a man, he was a juggler. Have you ever heard, you know, juggling clubs? It's actually bowling pins, right? And they call them clubs because they're not real bowling pins, but they're shaped and formed like them, right? So he's a professional juggler, and in his early 20s, he's living in London, and he was with the best of the best in the world at that time of jugglers. And he said he observed about himself that when he's tossing the clubs in a very rhythmic, strategic way and a perfect timing, right, you can imagine, when he's doing it to someone who is his teacher or much better than him, he was successful and never failed. But when he juggled the clubs and tossed them in the same rhythm and same pattern as much as he practiced to someone that he was teaching or someone who was weaker or someone who was not the top of the line, he would drop. And he noticed that about his practice for years, it was that way. And what does that got to do with anything, right? Well, I consider the Moore family, shout out to Lil Lakely, and Sister Nicole had said, help me if I say it wrong, but you get the gist. Her husband had taught her, if you want to be your best, surround yourself with the best. And when you unite with great people, it wouldn't matter who the weakest is or what the, you know, what sort of weak link is being manifest, if you could say, it's still top of the line. It's still someone in front of you that's able to teach you and master something that you haven't, which makes you a better you, you know. And as long as that juggler continued to work with the best, he was his ultimate best. But if he stepped away to pretend to be the best or so-called be his best with those that were younger and weaker than him with less experience, he failed every time, right? So I wanted to share that. You ready for the next clip?
Yes, ma'am, I'm ready.
All right, let's go. Once again, how does your spirit respond? Your internal communication, what is going on inside you when you hear this?
I say yes, ma'am, to my wife. I know all you people hardly believe. I know y'all believe. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, all right, sister. That's what we call each other, brother and sister, right now. I mean, stuff like that. I know it's hard because the world is just so unruly. It's hard to believe that there are honorable men and honorable women. I even got people from Midtown that came here during Passover and come to some event, and when they see our sisters, they're like, I thought that there was no more women like this in the world. I'm blown away. I don't care to what fellowship they go. When they see our sisters, they're like mesmerized. They're like, what in the world? Where are these women being? And the majority of them are already taken. Because they are good, holy, honorable women. They really, truly are. Man, I would love for some of y'all to actually just have even, you know, if you come to a meeting, actually get to meet our sisters. Both of them are married, but if you actually get to meet them, you'll be surprised the way they carry themselves, the way they talk, and how honorable they are. You'll even be surprised at me, because again, most of you, the only dynamic you know of me is when I'm doing this thing right here, or I'm a preacher, but you don't know me personally.
Hallelujah. How you feel, Mother Jennifer?
I feel very sad, Sister Ashley, that the quality of women out there has and continues to diminish to such a very low level to where women are degraded in the world, you know, and rightfully so because of the way that they carry themselves. Again, but it puts such a gratitude in my heart that I am here, that I'm learning my role, and I'm continuing to learn how to carry myself and how to be the woman that Yah has called me to be. Sister Ashley.
All right, let's go to the next clip. How does your spirit respond to this one?
And I tell you, guess what? I piss off more than anything. Jezebel, loud mouth, sorry, mystery mouth women. That's why I piss off more than anything. And feminine men who have a lot of estrogen dominance in their body. They're the only people I offend because men, real men, when they listen to me, they listen to me and they go, hell yeah. Where has man been at all my life, man? That's what I'm talking about. That is a man. That's what real men do. That's what real. But sissies and feminine men, castrated men, emasculated men, men who've been raised by women and stuff, man, they are more feminine than woman is. And that's bad. Even when you look at the lifestyle and the demeanor of homosexuals, you know it's a spirit because they act more feminine than women do naturally. And you know that that is without natural affection. It's all of the proverbial chain.
Hallelujah. All right. How did you feel, Mother Jennifer? What did you write?
You know, I think about our shepherd. I wrote, our shepherd is saving families. He saved families by strengthening men, and the world does the exact opposite. So the world tears down men, and the world will take the masculinity away from men, and that will tear the family down. But our shepherd will strengthen the men and teach the men, how to be fathers, how to be husbands. And because of that, families are saved in this ministry. Sister Ashley.
Beautiful. Is my audience understanding the spiritual communication?
Yes.
This is the same dynamic that happens anytime there's an administration of the fire of Yah, the sword of Yah, the word of Yah, the Bible, the readings, the teachings, the videos, the scriptural preachings, right? Everything that you hear, that internal communication inside you is where your soul stands. And, you know, is your spirit even communicating during this? Is the rage inside you silenced because you know you have to write it down? I mean, Satan is a deceiver, right? So you want to make sure that you start tuning into that internal voice and going hard after it. Hallelujah. Everything that opposes the righteousness of Yah. Next clip, Mother Jennifer, how does your spirit respond to this?
Anytime, be you male or female, you get outside of your role, don't expect peace to be in your life because it's not going to happen. It ain't going to happen. We are all designed to function a certain way. I tell you what, you see how Melania Trump got her ass in line when she went over there to see the Pope? You see that? Did you see that? Yeah, she put a head covering on. They call it a veil. She put a head covering on because of, you know, the customs and the traditions. I don't see none of y'all out here bitching about her doing that. What about all you feminist women and stuff? What happened? I mean, I thought that American women were so free and they're not oppressed. Why she dressed her ass up and put a head covering on when she went over there to see the Pope? I mean, won't you just take your American spirit and go over and do whatever the hell you want to do? Why she do that for the Pope? Huh? And not do it for the Saudis and not do it over in America. You see what I'm talking about? You see what I'm talking about? So whether you like it or not, that man, Pope, just showed that woman and put her in her place. I don't give a damn your husband is Donald Trump, the President of the United States of America. When you come in my presence, that's without anything being said, you will wear black. Did you hear what I said, woman, as a sign of submission? And you will wear a dress. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you will have a head covering on. Do you comprehend? And do you understand? And guess what? If you ain't going to do that, you ain't coming in my presence. Basically, that's what the Pope did. And he told Donald Trump that. And it was up to Donald Trump to get his wife in line and in order. Now you go to other places, man, I ain't gonna do that, I ain't gonna do that, I ain't gonna do that. I think you didn't see all that mess when she went over and met a man, did you? Now there's this, every time you turn around, news media is all over this. Every time you turn around, he tries to grab her hand, she's throwing it away. Is there dissension in the camp? I tell you what, I wouldn't put up with that crap. I wouldn't. First of all, it's a privilege for you to hold my hand. And you're supposed to be there to be my helpmeet. And if I reach out to grab your hand, you throw my hand away, you won't be going on no more trips during my presidency. You're going to keep your ass right here at home. See, that's how a man talks.
Mother Jennifer, how did your spirit respond?
A lot of hallelujahs, Sister Ashley. You know, I think about this world and, you know, how this country is so hypocritical. It's okay for you to cover your head for the Pope, but when you start, you know, you come into the faith, you come into the knowledge of the truth, you start covering your head, and, you know, they give you so much grief on your job. You know, it doesn't abide with the dress code, and why are you covering your head, and or why do you have a rag on your head, or, you know, there's always some type of contention when it comes to the head covering, as long as you're not standing before the Pope. So I think about the hypocrisy of where we live and, you know, just a lot of agreements, a lot of amens, as he was talking about, you know, if I put my hand out to hold your hand and you pull away, you know, it really just shows such a poor spirit in women, because there's so many women who have that spirit on them. So it again puts a level of gratitude in me that I have a man who knows how to rule his home, or I should say I don't have a man, but he has me, and he understands how to rule his home. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. All right. Y'all writing down or thinking?
Yes.
Yes. Everybody says yes. All right. Tonight, I'm going to throw you a lifeline. All right. When we get finished with these clips, I'm going to throw you a lifeline. A lifeline is actually something that you can depend on, and it actually provides a means of escape from a very difficult circumstance. So tonight, we're actually going to talk about the spirit of Miriam and her behavior, but in a way that is a lifeline to you to be in a safe place with the Most High Yah and what limitations you can't cross over. All right, so stay tuned for that. Let's go to the next one. Mother Jennifer, you ready?
I'm ready, Sister Ashley.
All right.
If you read the scripture, if you read the Bible, if you read the whole of it in its entirety, so if you'll realize one thing, and you have to realize this one thing, the Bible never, ever, ever warns a woman of a man. It never warns a woman, or it never teaches a woman how to protect herself against a man. But it does teach a man how to protect yourself from a wicked woman, from a manipulative woman, from a whore woman, from a lying woman, if you choose to receive it. Because most simps, now a simp is a man that is emasculated, eviscerated, and castrated. He thinks he's a man because he can stand up and advocate because of women's emotional makeup. Because make no mistake about it, women are emotional, they are literally emotionally disturbed. Because they operate more out of feelings and emotions, and that has become the reality, that has become the so-called perceived facts of the hour rather than actually dealing with the real issues. I talk to women all the time, and women, they don't really give a damn about what the Bible says. They only care about what their truth is. Therefore, the only way they can perceive and have happiness in the home or in their life is if things are functioning to the truth that they have already accepted, the way that they think that things ought to be. But if you talk to a man too many times, more often than not, they only care about what the book says. But a woman really cares about her opinion.
Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, what did you write down? How did your spirit respond?
I wrote down that women deal with opinions a lot, and men deal with facts. Women deal with opinions based on feelings, and men deal with facts. And I thought about, Sister Ashley, the first time I heard pastors say that the Bible never warns a woman to protect herself from a man. You know, the very first time I heard that, it put such fear in me because I never heard that before. I never knew the things that were truly in me, and it started my journey to really look at the evil and the wickedness that was truly in my heart, and that's when the changes started to come. But I also wrote how women deal with opinions based on feelings, and men tend to deal with facts. Sister Ashley.
All right, hallelujah. Let's jump to the next one. Is my audience ready?
Yes,
all right, thanks for tuning in so attentively, y'all. Here we go.
I want to send out a shout-out to all of the women of meek and quiet spirits in the ministry, which in the sight of Yah, which is of great price. I want to send a shout-out to all the women who exercise intelligence and know how to speak and know how to entreat. Know how to talk. They're just not no pushover, runovers, or nothing. They try to carry on a conversation. Not disrespectful and dishonorable. Very few of y'all in this world that are left in this wicked and perverse generation. I want to send a shout-out to you. I want to send a shout-out to you daughters of Zion who are content and who have a loving disposition and a kind heart and only seek please Yah and your authority, your head, and you'll want to enter into the gates, into the city. Send a shout-out to all y'all. Send a shout-out to all you good mothers who homeschool, who love your husband, love your children, and you guide the house in such a beautiful way. Bless each and every last one of you. The Most High sees everything, and he's not unfaithful, and he's not unjust to forget your labor of love which you have showed towards him. Yah's good. And he is good all the time. Know that your labor of love is never, ever, ever done in vain. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. Sister Ashley, I wrote, you know, and they say Pastor Dow hates women. You know, that there's so many accusations out there that our shepherd hates women. And that is so far from the truth. We would not even know or understand what contentment was, what it is to be meek and quiet, or even have a level of intelligence at all without having the encouragement from our shepherd, without being taught, you know, the way that we're taught from our shepherd, without our husbands being taught by our shepherd. It just, these things would not exist. We would not understand contentment. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Y'all know throughout our word, we hear things like Israel's forgetfulness, right, audience?
Yes.
Israel forgets and forgets. It's amazing. And we all need to say, hey, we apologize, Pastor Dow, for every time that we've ever forgotten that you spoke like this, right? Because Israel is required to hear repeatedly and forget continually.
Yes.
That's the pattern. We hear repeatedly, we forget continually. Nothing's good enough. We can say it every day. I know the men or even the fathers or the husbands, they have that upon them when you're the woman that's pulling from them, taking from them, and you've heard I love you. You've heard I'm committed. You heard the truth over and over redundantly, but it's not enough for you. 3, 4, 5 days later, you forgot that this was ever said. Well, guess what? If he never said it again, if he never said it again, it's still the heart, you know? And so this is the pattern of hearing we have to have. You say it to me one time, that's it. I got it. I'm going to hold it in my heart, right? And I don't got to go back or wish you'd say something to me today. Man, I'd love to just hear a little encouraging word now. Man, where to comfort at today, right? You hold that. Hold that. And that strategy against your enemy will move mountains for you. And if your husband or your man of Yah or someone who loves you dearly, even a woman around you, a sister or a friend, has really motivated you and spoken something so kind and encouraging and comforting to you, remember that. Remember it every day. Every day. Because it's just as fresh. If you bring it back to your memory, it's just as fresh as if they just now said it. Hallelujah. All right, so let's see. I got one last one. That's interesting, right? All right, so all we did was take a moment to, I got 8 clips. All we did was take just a moment to hear internally and kind of set the stage. Because, Mother Jennifer, and let me go to you, please. Is there something else you'd like to say before I step forward?
No, ma'am. We can go forward. I don't have anything to add. I think you put it out there very well.
Okay. Hallelujah. You know, I really appreciate certain terminologies in the Bible and analogies and parables and things that, you know, hit home to me. And I know each of you do, too, because you have Yah's spirit moving in you. And you really appreciate how he ministers to you. And one thing that I enjoy and a phrase that I enjoy is out of 1 Peter 3 that says, they, speaking of men that are unbelievers, they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. And I'll say that again, your chaste conversation coupled with fear. I really like that because that gives you a assignment that you can speak coupled with fear, coupled with reverence. My husband says, you know, there's a thin line between seeing and saying. Does that make sense? There's a thin line between seeing something and then saying something. There's a thin line to be crossed, and you can't go against the Most High's word because of what's inside you wanting out of you, you know? So just because you want to say something, just because you see something. In our culture here, I say ours, it's not mine, but in American culture, the freedom for speech, though it has its privileges, is really very detrimental because the more people were able to talk, the more deceptive they were able to be, right? They were able to get into the minds and communicate and over-communicate, and Satan can deceive and deceive and deceive. And then everybody has a, I have something to say. Yeah, I got something to say, you know? I don't know what it is, but I got something to say. So I just hit the click button and just start talking, you know? A lot of confused people with no Yah. And all around the world, women and girls suffer, so they say, from discrimination that denies them their human right to speak, 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 say it, say it, say it, push the start button, make a video, right? And the right to freedom of expression and information that we have in this generation, they're pushing as an essential role, you know, in the inequality, in the discrimination. And they say, well, in recent years, the internet has just grown substantially. You know, it's just created new spaces for exercising all rights to freedom of expression. And it offers women and girls all kinds of opportunities to make voices heard. I got what I consider three girls in here. Y'all want to talk? Tammy? Nadia? Cheyenne, you got something to say? The video's on. Come on. The button's on. Come on up and say something. Get it out. Y'all ain't got nothing?
No,
I mean, literally sitting in my presence, Mother Jennifer, quietly. Just listening. Just listening. Ain't got nothing to say. Just honorably listening. And then all over the world, these women or girls are faced with what they consider in their own minds great discriminations and restrictions that deny them their enjoyment of what they say the human rights allows. And they say, this is a restriction to my ability and my skill. I want to participate in debates. I want to participate in political processes. I have a right to freedom of expression and information. I'm a woman or even a girl, right? And I need to express myself. And so we've had so many people expressing themselves to us that it made us express ourselves. It's just a habitual cycle. You know, someone expresses to you, you express. Someone expresses to you, you express. And when you come into Yah's way and you relearn and you go, oh, chase conversation coupled with fear, and you go, oh, there's a thin line between seeing something and saying something, and you start to sit down a little bit, you know, calm down a little bit, get a hold of everything, you still see. You know, we ain't ignorant. And then you get the labels on you, you know. Then we're discriminated, or I guess we are under tyranny, you know. Pastor, the clip I even played was, we don't live under fear. But because you don't hear us come out in the same mannerisms as the world, come out from under our men and come out and say what they did and what we're going through and what he did to me, you know, and we don't have that same voice, you believe we don't have a voice. you know, ignorant, under the rule of thumb of tyrannical misogynists. Mother Jennifer?
Sister Ashley, you know, I always think that it is very wise to beware of a woman who is eager to speak all the time, who is always just very, very eager to put herself out there, to push the button, to make videos, to speak to everyone, you know, in an authoritative way, to always have their mouths moving. And if you are the one that is listening to such a woman, you have to really ask yourself, what is she really saying? Is it really fruitful, or is this unfruitful conversation that you are a part of? And you need to learn how to actually remove yourself from that. Sister Ashley.
Very good. Okay, so today and what was really, if they knew the behind the scenes, it's so funny. Most of the time, me and Mother Jennifer, we don't talk at all. We don't get together. We just, hey, show starts and we kick it off. Sometimes she'll shoot me something and say, what's on your heart? Sometimes I'll shoot her a question. But it's really low-key. And today it took quite a few turns, you know, from initially what I wanted her to speak about and something that is going to be talked about, I should say, and then what kind of developed after that. And you can see, y'all heard me say that before, but you can see a pattern. Like, it wouldn't matter if I just walk into the dining hall, go to the schoolhouse, it's going to be a text, an email, or a phone call, and then it's going to be another one and another one and another one, and it's all about the same thing, and no one knows about each other. That's a pattern that's often. So when you hear that pattern or the similarities between questions or conversations, then you go, okay, spiritual ears tuned in, and you're just, you know, allowing scriptures to really come in your mind and sending Mother Jennifer some thoughts and then letting her just, you know, have her meditations, and then here we are. So that was today. You know, I saw a pattern. And I know we've heard the story, Miriam, and if we could just, like, put her in the seventh row of our assembly, right behind me, right behind my children, right beside a Tomoko, right, like, make her real is what I'm trying to say. Make her real. Think about it in a way that maybe you haven't before, so the word never gets redundant to you, you know, so you never ignore going back and re-looking at something. And I think for Miriam, in my reflections, and I'll ask Mother Jennifer too, but in my reflections, and first let me just read this. It, the account comes from Numbers 12. You got Miriam, you got Aaron. It says they spoke against Moshe, and they spoke against him, okay? And once again, y'all, we're talking about the tongue, okay? We're talking about the mouth, right? Seeing and saying. Miriam and Aaron are speaking against Moshe because of a Ethiopian woman he had actually married. Okay, so he marries this woman, and you know, if she's sitting in the seventh row, it's more like, who is this nigga? She looks just like where we came from, dresses like him, sounds like him. I'm coming out. I'm a little more holy, right? I'm different. I didn't come up out of Egypt. And who let this nigga in? Right? Which, if you think about it, is manifest a hundredfold amongst us when you see the brother and sister that you hate. Who let this nigga in? Right? And so they say, has not Yah spoken with Moshe? I mean, is Moshe not, is he, this is Numbers 12 too. They said, has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moshe? Had he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. So when they see this dynamic and this man in the flesh making what they assume to be a mistake, Aaron and Miriam, they question and exalt their own selves. Are we not also holy? Are we not also the Most High? He's making a mistake, right? And the man Moshe, it says, was very meek above all the men of the face of the earth. And for any Christians tuning in, meekness in the faith is nothing like meekness of what's his name? Bozier, right? The white the white Jesus, the Christian doctrine. So Moshe is very meek, and the Most High speaks suddenly to Moshe, suddenly, and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, and says, you three, meet me here. And they came up. You ever heard pastors say, man, I shit my pants? Yeah, I'm with you. And you got to go too? And you better be on time? And you ain't got something to do? And the Most High comes down in a pillar of cloud, Mother Jennifer, they stand in the door of the tabernacle. Are you kidding me? Not only are we just, seeing this cloud, the presence that your very soul even feels is enough to cripple you. You ever felt the anointing or the fear of Yah and judgment or just a man of Yah walk by you like, oh, shit. Right? I'm choosing this language to reach you, by the way. And so you see this pillar of fire, and you hear the Most High is going to say, if there's a prophet among you, then I'm going to make him known in a vision, and I'm going to speak to him. My servant Moshe is not so, but who is faithful in all my house? But this man, right? With him, I speak mouth to mouth, not in dark speeches. He's saying, I ain't even talking to him per se in visions and dreams. I'm talking mouth to mouth. Y'all get it? He's hearing my mouth. And the Siri is trying to get on the show. Put this phone away. Sammy, she fails me anyway. I tell her to set reminders, and she don't let the timer go off. I'm going to go back to this. Mother Jennifer, this anger of the Most High Yah gets kindled against them, okay? And the Most High Yah departs from the tabernacle. The cloud leaves. This presence leaves. And when it does, boom, Miriam becomes leprous as snow. Now, contrary to popular belief, she wasn't cursed to be white. She was cursed with shame, that whatsoever is in your heart will now be upon your flesh. It's not, oh, I'm going to make you white because all white people are cursed. It's, no, I'm going to shame you. And that comes up again because Aaron looks on Miriam and he says, she's leprous. And Aaron, in his heart, you see, the heart was manifest here. That's why she was judged. The heart was manifest because Aaron looks on Miriam. He notices she's leprous, and immediately he says, my master, I beg you, Moshe, to don't lay this sin on us. We have done so foolishly. We have sinned. It was instantaneous repentance. And remember, the repentance was already in the heart anyway, right? Because Yah knows as soon as I do this, boom, you're going to repent, right? But why was Miriam, boom, I'm going to do this? Because you wouldn't. It ain't in you to. And so Aaron's saying, man, don't let her be as one dead, you know, whom the flesh is half consumed when he comes out the mother's womb. Don't let him be as one dead. Have you ever seen a premature baby born stillbirth? I have. The skin is transparent. You can see the blood vessel straight through it. He's reckoning that. He's saying, whose flesh is half consumed when it comes straight out the mother's womb. Don't let her. I mean, this is atrocious to see her skin like this. This is not just, oh, well, she just lost her melanin, right? This is very sickly. Moshe says, heal her now, Yah, I beg you. And Yah says to Moshe, if her father has spit in her face, should she not be ashamed even 7 days? Like it'd be like, your father going to give you the rod, Mother Jennifer, and at least for the next 7 days, you're going to remember it, and you're going to be ashamed, right? Now, there is other scriptural references we won't go into with spitting in the face, but it's referenced in the word. It's of great shame. So you can see, because it is used repetitiously in the word, that it was actually an act that a father would despise or be ashamed, because it's in Deuteronomy, it's in Exodus, it's in Mark and Matthew. They even spit in Jesus' face. It's an act of just spite, you know? And so the Most High is saying to Moshe, if her father spit in her face, she would even be ashamed, you know. But let her be shut out of the camp for 7 days, and after that, let her be received in again. So he showed her mercy. But prior to this, and her not knowing, she don't know her flesh is going to do that. She don't know she's going to get shut out of the camp for 7 days. She don't know that people are going to have to wait on her, or at least they didn't journey until she was done. She has no clue she's going to see the cloud of the Most High Yah. She has no clue that Yah is going to call her even forth to the tabernacle of the congregation to stand with these two men. She's running her mouth. Like, she really don't know. You get it? And we jump into that a lot because we see and we say, right? And so what's the lifeline? The lifeline is, as we talk about Miriam and we talk about the faults that you find with your brothers and your sisters and your pastor, et cetera, the lifeline is to not say it or know how to say it and know how to confess it. And that's going to be the dialogue tonight, is knowing how to get it out of you appropriately, maturely, respectfully, and even in repentance without making decisions that go contrary to the Most High's word, which is touch not my anointed. Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, I think about how loose people can be with the words. And, you know, because judgment is not executed swiftly, even though we read in these accounts. And, you know, the purpose is to put the fear of Yah in us. But because we don't physically see it in the natural, you know, the fear is not there where it should be. The fear is not in the hearts where it should be. And you hear pastors say all the time, don't mistake my meekness for weakness. You know, and you looked at, in the word it says that Moses was, he was very meek, you know, above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And when you look at the character of our shepherd, he's a very meek man. And just like in this account, Yah judged Miriam. Yah judged Miriam for the meditations that were in her heart, for the words that she allowed to manifest and come out of her mouth, for the influence that she had over other people because of what was in her heart. He judged her. And so, again, you know, if we look at these accounts, we would not only be careful of what we say, but we would be careful of what we allow to even enter into our hearts. We would be careful about the things that we listen to, the things that we allow to enter into our ear gates, and you would really guard your heart because Yah is, he's not playing games. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. And, you know, I'm going to play a song. We're about at the first hour mark, so I'm going to play a song, and the song is titled Family. But for me, it took y'all, it took a long time to really say this is family. Like, you can have it on the edge of your lips for years, months, whatever, for you to really go, man, this is family. Initially, I'm going to speak it like this. Initially, it's been family from day one. But as you build in your understanding and in your function and your tribal mentality, then something snaps and goes, oh, this is family. Yeah. That's what I mean. And so the way that the Father has put his family structure together amongst us is for a perfection. It's for a perfect plan. It really is amazing if we all do what we're called to do. Let's hit this family song button. Y'all enjoy. I love it. And we'll be right back talking more about Miriam and the mouth.
I remember the time when I was far away. You brought me near. I was far away. You brought me near. If all you really ever wanted was a family. Before you were free.
Changed my name, and now I'm your daughter. Daughters have specific behaviors and family traits that we have to learn and go by, right, Mother Jen?
Absolutely, Sister Ashley. And, you know, we can't take Yahweh's name in vain, like the pastor teaches. It's not about, you know, using what the world would call curse words to take his name in vain. That's not what that means. It means that you are saying that you belong to him. You know, he brings you in, he changes your name. You should take on his nature. You should take on his attributes. You should take on his character. You should behave like him. You should become like him. And you should become the woman that he's created you to be. You shouldn't even look anymore like the world that you've come from at all. You shouldn't have any part of the world that you've come from. The world will seem so foreign to you. The ways of the world will seem so foreign to you. There are times when, you know, when I go out, if I have to go grocery shopping, and there's times, you know, when I just look, because things are so strange compared to before I came into the faith. Things are so strange now, and I don't even recognize certain things anymore. And I'm extremely grateful to that, you know, he's brought me in and he's changed my name, and the people that I used to know no longer recognize me, and that's a compliment. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Hebrews 8 says if the first covenant had been faultless, then there should be no place sought out for the second, which means there was a fault with the first one. But what was the first fault? What was the first covenant fault, Yahweh? And in the next verse, Hebrews 8:8 says, finding fault with them. Finding fault with them, he said, the days will come that I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Why are you going to make a new covenant? Because you found fault with them, right? Like something was wrong with them. And so Miriam saw something wrong too. You see the difference? Like as a father even, he's going to shift and make a change for better. Daniel 4:17 says, to the intent that the living, that's us, that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men. Y'all agree?
Yeah.
The Most High Yah rules the kingdom of men. And Daniel said, and he give it to whoever he will, and he sets it up over the basest of men. Right? Consider the foolish things for preaching, right? Confounding the wise, you can't find him out. You can't find out his ways, his understanding, his past hours. But Miriam's going to voice what she finds as a fault. And she's going to, in her heart, you know, it was a play, a dramatic play. Who knows how long it even went on? Aaron might have thought it. Aaron might have listened. Aaron might have agreed there's something wrong with this Egyptian. Like, she got some ways that we trying to, you know, change. But we know we are not supposed to lay our mouth on the men of Yah. Now, Paul said that, let me see what that verse says. Acts 23:5. I'm gonna start at verse 1. Acts 23:1. Paul earnestly beholds the council. Okay, so he's looking out amongst these men and he says, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before the Most High until this day. Now, if you know anything about this account, he's in great scrutiny. Like, this is, like, legit issue. Verse 3 says, Paul says, or they say to Paul, for what he said, for whatever Paul said, God shall smite you. Forgive me. Paul says to them, God shall smite you. Paul says, you are a whited wall. And you sit to judge me after your law. What he's saying is, hey, what is the sepulchers, right? Outwardly, you're washed, but inwardly, you're dead man's bones. He's talking to this person about what's inside him, because we're going to get to that. And Paul says, I won't, brethren, this is the high priest. It is written that you shall not speak evil of the ruler of this people. Like, I'm not going to, it's written, don't speak evil of the ruler of this people. Right? So he even had boundaries on his lips. And I'm sure that Miriam had no boundaries. And I'm sharing that because the lifeline is that you have to create your own boundaries as a woman of what you will not speak. You have to have them. It has to be a part of you. You can't loosely engage in a conversation and then forget it. And you can't even express yourself with your tongue continually without repentance. It's just not our custom. David said with, okay, Psalm 12:1, I'm backing it up. Help, Yah, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from amongst the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart they speak. I wonder really how well our speech is in Israel. All right, Shabbat, it's judgment day. We're going to line up and we're going to receive judgment straight from Yah. Line up down the center aisle. When you get to the elders and it's your turn, they're going to hear from the Most High Yah and they're going to give you your judgment. How your tongue and your lips and your speech has been, how your heart has been. Boom. You ready? You ready for that? Confidently? Psalms 12:3 says, the Most High Yah shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. But we don't believe that because we don't see it. And then verse 4 says, who has said, with our tongue we will prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? I got something to say. I got something to say. I got to text it, call it. Got to find who agrees with me. I got to find who sees what I see. And I got to talk about it. Mother Jennifer.
Sister Ashley, you talked about loosely engaging in a conversation that is unfruitful. And you have to really know what is truly in your heart. You have to know the venom that lies in your heart. You have to know if there are any offenses that are in your heart. And many don't even know themselves. Many don't take the time out to really ask the Father to search the heart. You know, search my heart, Father. It's the prayer of David. He said, search my heart and see if there is any offensive way in me, because many are deceived. You know, many allow the heart to deceive them. And you can be the most quiet woman in the ministry. You could be the most quiet woman in the ministry. But if you have any type of offense in your heart against anyone, then the Hasatan is going to make sure that someone comes along and crosses paths with you who has the same offense in their heart for the same person. And you being the quiet woman, your interest is going to be piqued. You know, that's going to spark your interest. And then you'll start talking. And I'm telling you, the flesh will, it'll show itself at the most inopportune time. And things will come out of you that you did not even know were there. So that's why it's best to ask the Father to search you and to really give you the discernment to see yourself and to give you the humility to be able to repent and get the deliverance that you need. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Yes, yeah. Psalm 73 says, truly the Most High is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet are almost gone. My steps have slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Isn't that the key? Like, man, when you think somebody getting by with something, ain't that the envy of the flesh, the heart that lusts for envy? Man, cut this nigga off. right now. Miriam wanted it. Judgment right now.
Yeah.
Come on now. David said it, but I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And then he says, pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes stand out like fatness. They have more than their heart could even wish. They're corrupt. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily, right? But he's communicating what's in his heart to get it out. He's confessing with his own self that my feet are almost gone. My steps have slipped because I'm seeing this. I'm comparing. I'm having this issue. And he says they set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walks through the earth. Like, their tongue just walks through the earth. They just say whatever. They just say whatever. And it's honesty, the wickedness that prevails even amongst the body. When you come together and dwell, one house, one community, one land, 10 lands, one ministry, and you got a shepherd crying loud and sparing not, and sin is coming up to the surface, the dross is coming to the top, people going to see it, look around, and be tempted of all the things that look like y'all ain't doing nothing about. Y'all ain't doing nothing about it. That tongue just walking through the earth, right? And get you so distracted in seeing that dross that you don't see your own lips. Jeremiah 23 said the burden of the Most High Yah was that we shall not mention any more the burden of the Most High Yah. That's what he said. For every man's word is going to be his own burden. Every man's word is going to be his own burden because you perverted the words of the living Yah. You messed it up. You say whatever you say, that's your burden. Ain't gonna hear the Most High Yah the same way. And Mother Jennifer, when you think about that delicate connection between the tongue and the heart, I mean, just even the thousands upon thousands of things that I've renounced and repented for. Jeremiah 9 said, "Oh, that my head will water, my eyes." Oh, man, if there were just a fountain of tears, I would weep day and night. And it's tough sometimes when you're on your own to even read Jeremiah 9 because the Father is saying, oh, that I had a wilderness to lodge. I would leave my people. I would go away from them because they're adulterers and they're an assembly of treacherous men. And they bend their tongues like bows for lies. And this is the Most High saying, man, if I had somewhere else to go, right, I'm a father. I just want a family. I just want a family. Tell me he don't know what it's like for a man to lose his family or have no other place to go, right? He says, they are not valiant for the truth. They're not seeking the truth, wanting to know the truth. We're seeking to please comfort me and stop talking to me this way. That's why we pick and choose what we don't want to hear. Turn it on, turn it off, don't listen to it. Don't, you know, check out, go grocery shopping in the middle of the word. Like, no, we're not valiant for the truth. We bend our tongues for lies, like bows. And they proceed from evil to evil, and they don't know me, says Yah. But he says, take heed every one of you to his neighbor and trust not your own brother. Like, that's some kind of nature that our people had for him to say, every brother is going to walk with slander. Jeremiah 9:4. Every brother's going to walk with slander. Don't trust. Wow. And they're going to deceive everyone, his own neighbor, and they will not speak the truth. And they taught their tongues to speak lies like it's in you. And you don't think you're going to be judged. No, you don't. I need deliverance. I just need to get this demon oppressing me. Now you're a liar. Like, uh-uh. And free you for what? Until you're going to give him glory, you're not going to get your freedom. Until you show brokenness, why would I free you? If I had in the wilderness another lodging place, I would go. Right? It says, thy habitation in the midst of you is deceit, and through your deceit, you refuse to even know me. like, wow, my God. Like, how much all week do we refuse him? And then how much week after week are we told that we refuse him and we refuse time with him? We still make excuses. Yeah. Like, my God, we have heard him over and over so much, 100-fold. But he says, I will melt them. I will melt them and try them. Their tongue is an arrow shot out and speaks deceit. One speaks peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he lays in wait for him. Man, I got that on a small scale. Shepherd got that on a grand scale. Shall I not visit them for these things? Say the Most High Yah, shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Wow, that's some fearful talk, Mother Jennifer. Go ahead.
Absolutely, Sister Ashley. And, you know, part of your repentance needs to be not only the accusations that you have put forth toward the people of Yah, but the accusation that you have toward Yah himself, because what you're saying is that Yah doesn't understand the character of those that he chose. He doesn't understand the character of those that he put in authority. And you're accusing Yah in a way that you're not even in a position to even question him at all. You see what he said to Job, you know, really got him to just be quiet. Job didn't even want to speak anymore. And so I don't understand how it's difficult to understand how we, especially as women, put ourselves in position to speak against the people of Yah, because your accusation is not just toward a man. Your accusation is toward Yah himself. And, you know, you talked about repentance, and there's a difference between worldly sorrow and the sorrow of Yah. The sorrow of Yah is the only thing that is going to truly lead to repentance. You know, instead of you saying, oh, I just need deliverance. No, the sorrow of Yah is going to bring you to the point of truly repenting and making right everything that you've done wrong. The people that you've put your mouth on, the people whose ears you've spit in, you have to go back and make that right. You know, you have to confess the things that you have said to make these things right. Sister Ashley.
One, I'm trying to think of another psalm, I think it's 39, that talks about that, you know, delicate balance between the tongue and the heart's manifestation. And David was saying, my heart is hot within me, and I was musing, and the fire burned, and then I spoke with my tongue, right? And so it's almost an instantaneous response within the flesh that, you know, your heart is hot within you, you're musing with fire, and then you're going to speak, you know? And as a woman and learning self-control, it's in those moments that's where you find your strength. That's where you find, you know, your silence. And I really, truly mean this as a woman. If you want to walk with Yah, hear from Yah, you know, get his ear, get his attention, find his favor, you must learn how to be silent, because our power is in our silence. Our power is in our silence. Our power is not in our eloquent words. You know, our power is not manifest as a man, you know, laying on of hands and boom, you know, that outward, our power as a woman. And the word says we have power, right? Over our head from the angels. Our power lies in the strength you have to hold your tongue. Like, you will receive power if you are able to squelch that fire that's so hot inside you, burning and causing you to speak with your tongue. But, hey, David even said, I was dumb with silence and I held my peace even from good. He said, my sorrow was stirred. We get quiet for sorrow, don't we? You got to practice that silence. You got to hush that. You got to hush that. And Psalms 45, my heart is indicted in a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Can you imagine, like, if we had an angel assigned to each of us writing everything from our tongue? He also says, grace is poured unto my lips, that Yah may be blessed forever. We can do that. We can produce that. My heart rejoiced. My tongue was glad, David said. My tongue was glad. My tongue was glad. I'll get quiet in a minute if I don't need to say something.
All right.
I ain't gonna sin. Not for you. Not because I see something. See, that's what gets people. You know? Like, we don't see the dross. You know? Like, we don't see the dross floating up. Mother Jennifer, you see dross floating up?
Sister Ashley, it's amazing. It's just amazing where we are now. You know, the things that you see now and the things that you never saw before. And the closer that we get in these days, in this current world that we live in, the closer you get to Yah, you'll want to speak less and less because you'll understand how much weight your words carry. And if we don't have that fear in us to really be mindful of our words, it really is a fearful place, but I want to say in a healthy way, a healthy fear, a godly fear. It puts a high level of godly fear in you that the closer we get, the closer we get to Him, that you just don't have a whole lot to say. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Let me play a clip. Let's hear from our shepherd.
Because make no mistake about it, women are emotional. They are literally emotionally disturbed because they operate more after feelings and emotions than that has become the reality, than has become the so-called perceived facts of the hour rather than actually dealing with the real issues. I talk to women all the time, and women, they don't really give a damn about what the Bible says. They only care about what their truth is. Therefore, the only way they can perceive and have happiness in the home or in their life is if things are functioning to the truth that they have already accepted, the way that they think that things ought to be. But if you talk to a man too many times, more often than not, they only care about what the book says. But a woman really cares about her opinion. And if you don't agree with her opinion, then you become an enemy. Now, there is a woman out there that has a spirit of learned helplessness. I guess that would be a good title. A spirit of learned helplessness. And that spirit has the illusion that it's a victim or it's battered. All right? You know, anytime you use the word victim, or even if the word victim is not even used, if someone is speaking to you and their speech and their conversation comes from the perspective or point of view that some way, somehow, they are a victim of a circumstance, they are a victim of a situation. The people who are simple, who are ignorant, who have no discernment, the people who have literally no sense whatsoever at all, what they will automatically do, because that's the way this society is, they will automatically proceed or presume that the person who is complaining, murmuring, griping, slandering.
All right. I'm going to let an ad play. Mother Jennifer, can you add to his chat while I let it play on mute?
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. You know, he started off the clip very well by talking about how women are moved by emotion. You know, women go based on opinions and men go based on facts. So women go based on feelings, and they try to draw you into those feelings as well. And like he said, you know, this victim mentality that that some women can carry. If you don't have the proper discernment that you need to have, if you don't have the proper discernment, you could be sucked into something that you don't even understand. You could be manipulated to believe something that is a lie, because women will paint the picture as if they are a victim. If they come across someone who is passionate about the truth, you know, and they're not used to experiencing anyone being passionate about the truth, then they will have this, they'll portray in their minds, or they'll think that they're being attacked, you know, oh, you're yelling at me, you're attacking me. And this is why so many people out there, so many women out there are just not hearing or liking to hear the voice of our shepherd because he's passionate about the truth. And they think that we are oppressed, and they think that we're oppressed women, women who are just abused or, you know, whatever the accusations are. And that is not true at all. You know, we are just as passionate about the truth as our shepherd. However, we just don't, you know, because he's a man and we're women, we carry ourselves in a different way. So our passion comes through very differently. But this victim mentality, when you run across someone with this victim mentality, you have to make sure that you properly discern that and ask yourself, am I one who carries a victim mentality? If I'm telling my side of a story, I'm trying to get advice, I'm trying to get counsel, am I shaping the story in a way to where it appears that I'm a victim so that somebody can give me advice based on what I want to hear? Or am I really just wanting to get the truth out just so I can see where my wrong is? You know, and are you going to someone saying, I just need to see where my wrong is? Or are you just going and just blurting out everything that's on your heart because you're unsettled about, you know, the fact that you've been told that you're wrong about a certain situation? Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. We have to be able to bridle our tongue. And when you begin to bridle your tongue, you start to hear what your spirit man is saying. You start to hear your heart, right? But if you don't stop your tongue, then you won't hear your own heart. And if you can't silence your tongue and you don't want to hear what you're hearing, then you're going to continue in deceit. And James talked about it. If anyone's a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man looking at his face in a glass in a mirror. He sees himself. He walks away. He forgets exactly who he was. And he says, any man among you be religious and bridle not his tongue, he deceives his own heart. So it's simply asking that you would bridle your tongue to see your own heart, to meet forth repentance, to be able to hear the inward communication that the Spirit of Yah beckons and calls you to do, you know, to be communicated to. Hallelujah. It says this man's religion is vain. Back to the clip.
And giving up their emotional makeup. They automatically presume that the person who is praying, the victim, is the one who is telling the truth. And there could be nothing further from the truth, because too many times more often than not, the person who plays the victim is usually not telling the truth. What they're doing is telling you their truth. Now, we live in a world here in the United States of America, and we live in a society, a very open society, that with all the freedom, the liberties, and opportunities that we have in front of us, there's no need of anyone to stay in an abusive relationship, perceived or not. You don't believe whether it's real, has a reality, is it, if it's perceived or not. There's no reason whatsoever at all for anyone to stay under that type of tyranny, under that type of domination and wicked rule, when they have the option just to walk right out the door and leave and never have to worry about suffering that again. But the truth is, and I want you to listen to me real close, the people who do the murmuring, right, and complaining, especially women in relationships, it's not that they are victims whatsoever at all. And it's not that they're being abused whatsoever at all. The problem is that the home is not functioning the way they think it ought to run. And if that home is not functioning the way they think it ought to run, the first thing they do is go find some filth-ass man or some stupid, ignorant woman who has the same mindset and status as she does, begin to murmur, grunt, and complain, and then they use that power to manipulate, coerce, and dominate, because it's a spirit. It's a spirit of learned helplessness. They use that spirit in order to spit in somebody else's ear and to sway public opinion against the person who they're complaining about. And unbeknownst to the person who they're complaining about, they don't even realize that this stuff is going on. It's a tactic. It's a tactic and a ploy in order to put pressure and bring pressure for bear against a strong man who will not acquiesce, against a strong man who will not capitulate, against a strong man who will not be dominated by an unseen hand or force of manipulation because of an emotional experience that someone experienced because they say it's negative because things are not running their way. I know I can probably be confusing people. I'm really trying not to. Every time I make a video, I'm trying to search for ways and situations, words, to say without, you know, to break it and make it as easy as possible for people to comprehend and understand what's really going on without without bringing a bunch of confusion, because, you know, we live in a world that things really truly need to be said simple in order for people to grasp, because people don't believe in self-education today. But usually a person that's complaining about another person, what they're hoping to do is spin the narrative in order to gain favor and get more people to ally on their side and see it their way. And that's the reason why, and I'll go back to it again, that's the reason why the Bible always warns a man about a wicked-ass woman. And I'm telling you, from experience and counsel and everything, some of the most wicked women I have ever met on the face of planet Earth is not the ones that run their mouth openly. It's not the ones that express themselves openly, but the ones who are quiet, the ones who prance around like a snake, the ones who seem they always hold their tongue. Them are the most wickedest ones I've ever seen. They cause the most destruction on people in this earth. Them are the ones. And it's just the truth. Now, hey, you can do it what you want, but hey, I'm dealing with this because apparently somebody could be doing this. But over and over again, you can't ignore the fact. And of course, you know, people will listen to this video, especially an offended woman, a woman who's perceived that she's battered, even though she has no bruises, no cuts, no sores, or nothing like this. The problem is she just don't want to be told what to do, be ruled and governed by her head. And so she wants to manipulate and dominate the situation. And if that doesn't work, and that's another thing right here, I want to tell you men right now. If you have a woman, you can tell if your children have been bit by this serpent, if they oppose you as a man or the husband. You can tell that. Because there are a lot of things that people say. There are a lot of things that have been said about me that I never even hear. But when you watch the function of people, you can tell, wow, look at that. Somebody has done spit something negative in their ear, and look at, they're being used and don't even realize it. Of course, the way you handle that deal is you just continue to keep being right and doing right. And usually when someone gets bit and the poison is inserted, it takes a long time for it to get out of the system, if it's ever processed at all, because if they keep that offense right now, it may follow them for the rest of their lives. It really truly has. You know, let's go back to the family unit since we're talking about that. Young women, you should make sure your children.
All right, pause that clip for a moment. I got a couple of minutes left on it. Let's jump to the email for tonight. Y'all remember last week when I said, and it was spur of the moment too, I didn't even know I was going to say it, and the person that I thought of when I was saying it contacted me after I said it. It went something like this. As a deliverance worker, I've cast out the venom deposited into a woman in her stomach from words and seeds of a viper against the man of Yah. And it's been on more than one occasion. And it's always by the leading of the Ruach, right? Because that person has already dealt with their heart, and there's certain things they're even ashamed to confess. Right? And so I said, I'm going to get y'all testimony. As soon as the show is over, I get a text, Mother Jennifer, from the exact sister that I knew was strong enough to send in the email that said, I'm going to send my testimony in. I said, hallelujah, you was the one I was thinking of. So read it for us, Mother Jennifer, jump to the email. Here goes the testimony.
She says, shalom to my beloved sister Ashley and Mother Jennifer and every other sister with ears to hear. I testify to the word Sister Ashley spoke last week. I have had the venom of serpents cast out of my belly from the words deposited into my ears. I did not know the subtlety of offense. I thought an offended person knew they were offended but kept silent. I did not realize.
Mother Jennifer, as you continue, because I've read this, I want everybody to listen to what she's about to explain her life was like, meaning this was the result of the venom. See, the venom doesn't just go into you and have none effect, right? It doesn't just sit there. You're not just strong enough to hear it. As much as your flesh wants to believe that we are stronger than we are, we're always going to be weaker vessels. Stamp it. Stamp it, sign it, seal it. We are weaker vessels, right? So Mother Jennifer, thank you for pausing for me. We're going to hear what life was like for her as that venom was inside her. Go ahead.
She said, I did not realize this was the poison slowly suffocating my own spirit over the last year. All of the joy and fervency I had once operated in had slowly began to diminish, and there was a continual fight in my mind to shake the apathy. I had so many thoughts ministered to me that I must be a tear, and I fought so hard to press through them. I cried out to Yahweh and asked him what was keeping me from moving forward. That same Shabbat, as we were singing, I will trust in you forever, I heard mistrust. I spent the next couple of weeks meditating on that word and really combing over the fruit of my behavior change over the past year. I realized as much as I had desired to suppress from the Father and attempt to just get over it, like we are taught as Gentiles, there is nothing hidden from the eyes of Yah. I was so discouraged, disheartened, and disappointed by the words I had received by a respected sister. I wasn't prepared for the why this, if this question's asked, or the opinions. I felt deflated and unclean, seeing things I was never intended to see that sat in the back of my subconscious this whole time. I was angry with the Most High. I was greatly discouraged. I cried out and confessed it and told him I thought he didn't see me down here and he has forgotten me because of A, B, C, and D. I told him everything that he already knew. I repented for everything that felt so real to my flesh, but my spirit knew was not true, and for bringing him down to the likeness of man. I begged him to deliver me from this body of death. I later realized was shame, and it really prepared me for the deliverance from offense and many other spirits the following day. It is the goodness of Yah that leads us to repentance. I thank my Yah for his faithfulness and his healing that really is the children's bread. I am now keenly and defensively able to discern the voice of Miriam, and I do know this about the voice of offense. If you do not know without a shadow of a doubt who the man of Yah is and that there is only one, you have already compromised.
Woo, Sam. It's the glory of Yah to conceal a thing, the honor of kings to search it out. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel that's finer. Right? What is dross that we speak of that's coming up even out of her? The impurities, yes, the refuse, the things the silver won't accept. Right? Amazing that she says something like, I had received it by a respected sister. Boom. Already. You got respected relationships, respected sisters, and boom. Venom's in. And as a deliverance worker, she held her integrity. She's coming for freedom for what she said and done. She's not disclosing things. But as me, I'm a worker, and how I'm being led, and what I'm knowing, and even down to the sister's name that's dropped in my heart, that don't even live in my state, and this spirit's responding, and this venom's coming out, and this mind control is flopping, and she's a whole new creature. Don't tell me this ain't real. She never said her name, and I got no accusations. Don't tell me love don't cover a multitude of sins. Don't tell me people above you don't know you.
Ooh.
Right? Love covers a multitude of dross, too. It really does. We are Israel. But the heart says, what have I done? What have I done? What have I done? What have I done? As if, you know, is not deserving of the menial lot of life that you've been given, the menial affliction that you feel. Jeremiah said, why should a man even be astonished? Why are you even acting like, oh, what have I done? You know? Jeremiah 14:10, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore, Yah does not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. That is a fearful statement. Because when you have your, when you repent, don't you automatically expect to be forgiven? Right? That's our arrogance. That's our presumptuous. When you're pregnant, don't you automatically believe the baby's going to be born with life? That's your presumption. We just walk around presumptuous. What pastors say, you sit in a chair on Sabbath, you believe and have faith it ain't going to collapse. Right? But Yah said to Jeremiah, don't pray for this people for their good. Man, talk about a painful statement from the man of Yah. While the people run around doing whatever they want and have no idea this dynamic and communication going on. Like, hey, Jeremiah, I don't want to hear it. Because when they fast, I'm not going to hear their cry. I'm not going to accept them. I'm going to consume them by the sword and by a famine and by pestilence. I'm going to send it. I'm coming. Don't talk to me anymore about their good. And then he says, okay, if I send this sword, I'll send this famine, right? All these people talking about assured peace, 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 health, prosperity, Baki, peace, peace, health, prosperity, blessings, freedom, Edom will serve us, right? Grapes, fan us, hallelujah, freedom, better place, everything going forth, everything. But Yah says, the prophets lie in my name. I didn't send them. I didn't speak to them. They got false visions. They got divination. They got deceit to their own heart. This is our Yah, y'all. You ever looked up or even considered the word smitten and how rough the word smitten even is? You know, like Miriam was smitten with leprosy, right? Like Miriam was smitten with leprosy. I said this at a show before. Miriam, I would love you to call in, right? I've never had a testimony or email sent into this broadcast, never. And Straightway Helmet's inbox that said I was a respected sister that spit into someone's ear. Like, that's the deception. Yah says, or Jeremiah, you know his response, could you imagine? I'm very serious, y'all. If y'all have ever even had an anguish that's put upon you by the Ruach, it's like none other. He wants you to bear it with him. And Jeremiah is saying, my eyes will run down with tears day and night. They wouldn't even cease. If I didn't have to be in the dining hall at 8 and 3, by the way, and just, like, live life like I'm doing, I'll just stay at home and pray. Like, sometimes I'm just consumed with the anguish of the body. That's the burden you bear when you pray like this. But y'all got this beautiful dynamic, like, no, you got to get out. You got to live, right? You got to find joy. Hallelujah. But honestly, Jeremiah said, if I go to the field, they'll be slain with a sword. If I go to the city, they're sick with famine. It's like, everywhere I go. Your judgment. And he begs and says, have you rejected Judah? Have you hated it as your soul even loathed Zion? Why have you smitten us? There's no healing. We look for peace. There's no good. A time of healing and there's just trouble. It's coming, y'all. It's coming. And we are frivolously fighting as a people, as a family, finding faults. Mother Jennifer?
Sister Ashley, I to read a testimony like this really puts joy in my heart that someone was mature enough to get what they needed, to really break free. I couldn't imagine having a whole year of being tormented by the words of someone and, you know, really even bringing it to the point of questioning yourself, questioning your salvation and, you know, believing that you're a tear. So the sooner you deal with these things, the better it is to go ahead and to walk in the newness of life. So I'm glad the sister was mature enough to repent and to do what she needed to do to move forward. But, you know, it really makes me think that we have to be careful of how we handle people, you know, what we're saying to people, what we're the conversations that we're having with people. are these conversations unfruitful? You know, are we really thinking about our words? Are we really even thinking about what's in our heart before we go to someone else and speak? Because you just don't know the damage that you're doing and, you know, the people or who's going to have to undo that for you. You know, all the recovery that has to take place. You don't know if you're doing a month's worth of damage or a year's worth of damage. You know, maybe just by a half-hour conversation, you could damage somebody for a whole year. So we have to really be wise about the words that we're speaking and just refuse to be a part of unfruitful conversations. I'm not saying women that you don't need to talk. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that you need to make sure that your conversations are valuable and that you're really speaking on things that are fruitful. Sister Ashley.
Yes. I'm afraid to speak, Mother Jennifer. I can say that maturely because the word says, you know, have your speech coupled with fear. So English says afraid to speak, right? You can say it maturely, but like she said, you don't want to have a fear of speaking, right? Because what actually happens is in your fear of communicating to people, you hold back from your yah. The same way that you communicate to your yah is the same freedom that you have with the people. When pastor says, I'm an open book, easy to be read, it's his communication to yah. Like, he's all out there. Like, you know the hairs on my head. You know, my days are numbered. And so there's such a freedom in pouring out your faults to the Father. Confess your faults one to another if it need be, as James 5 said. Pray for one another and confess your faults one to another. Sometimes just even speaking of a fault that you have will get you free just by meeting the humility requirement. Like, I'm going to share this with my sister. You know, this is what I got going on. Whoop, whoop, whoop. And then, boom, you walk away like, dang, I'm relieved because you gave it to someone you trusted. Right? Don't cast it to someone you don't. You walk away even heavier. David said, our secret sins are in the light of your countenance. Our secret sins. And that was his prayer that Yah, you would cleanse me from my secret faults. What's the big secret anyway? The secret is the faults are hidden from you. This sister for a whole year didn't know. It was a secret from her. You know what I mean? When the conversation transpires, and I even said to myself, like, or behind the scenes, I'm like, hey, chef, get the shofar ready, right? Because all in heaven rejoice when one sinner repents. And we waiting on Mother Jennifer to, you know, say what she says. I'm like, wait a second. We ain't blowing no shofar. We are not blowing no shofar. This sister probably don't feel like blowing no shofar. Yes, she's free. But what about being bitten by the viper? Man, Ezekiel 16, I always go to it because he says you played the harlot with them. Right? Where's the woman that was the respected sister that spoke up, that multiplied in her fornication? So that I can say, how weak is your heart, sister, seeing that you do all these things, the work of an imperious whore? Right? Because it really is the work of a whore. You're running around causing division, doing the things that Israelites are not supposed to do, believing that you will not be judged for it. And we know that the Most High Yah will not refrain from judging us. He will not. He never has. He said, Ezekiel, son of man, I want you to set your face towards Jerusalem, and I want you to drop a word. Look it up, Ezekiel 21, drop your word. You know, it sounds kind of like something we would say in our generation. Drop a word on him, Brother Daniel. But he said to him, hey, prophesy against the land of Israel, because I'm against them. And the Most High Yah said, I'm going to draw my sword out of its sheath, and I'm going to cut off from the righteous and the wicked. I'm cutting it all off. And that is so fair, because what was really going on to get him to do this? What was really going on to get him to say, man, I've always told y'all, it don't matter how righteous any of us think we are, I'm afraid of what's going to happen and transpire because of the wicked amongst us. I'm afraid of tribulation, what I'm going to see and endure because of the wicked. Right? Because tribulation's prophesied of. Ain't no amount of righteousness or prayers getting us out of that. He said, I'm going to draw forth my sword out of its sheath, and I'm going to cut off from you the righteous and the wicked, seeing that I will cut off with my sword, and it will go forth against all flesh. It's going to go to the south. It's going to go to the north. And all flesh is going to know that I'm the Lord. And all flesh is going to know that I drew up my sword.
And that's why I say this is a lifeline. It's a lifeline because in this moment, if we were judged for our words, right, it's not the hearing. It's what's communicating inside of us and coming out that creates the vileness, right? The Most High said that every heart is going to melt. All hands are going to be feeble. Y'all, we were in this flesh. You look down into your flesh and say, it's going to melt. When he called my spirit home, my flesh ain't entering in. Every spirit's going to faint. All knees are going to be as weak as water. And you run around so haughty. Can't even bow your head to someone aged, honorable, or someone that you believe shouldn't exalt themselves above you. You know? Like, we are so haughty as a nation. There's no honor in us. And he says, when I come, this is what I'm going to do. Because I said it. And remember, don't pray for their good, you know? And then when we talk like this, Mother Jennifer, we're accused as a ministry to put fear in the people, you know? But no, you should be afraid. I'm afraid to speak. Why I run around not saying nothing? Cause I'm afraid to speak. I ain't afraid of you. I'm afraid of me. I ain't speaking nothing. No, it ain't. What talk is cheap and it's vain. It's vain. My songs, what'd you say? Talk don't care who uses it. And if we really believe we were judged for our words, we would just stay silent. And guess what? I got a lot of friends. For anybody who ain't never been here, I got friends and sisters that they are quiet women working on themselves. Hallelujah. Stepping away from that which is vain and unholy, bridling their tongue. Yes. Not deceiving their own heart. Striving, trying, reaching out, forming bonds of communication, being as holy as they can manifest. Not sitting back as a victim. I thank the Father for every one of you, every single one of you. You remind me that I'm in the land of the living. You remind me of how the Most High Yah has warned us, and some of us are taking heed. The fear of Yah is clean and endures forever, and the judgments of Yah are true and righteous all together. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah, Sister Ashley. I couldn't think of anything else to add to it. I think you put it very well.
Hallelujah. Let's hear a song. We're wrapping it up. I love hearing children sing. I think about the pureness of children who have not yet sinned, but only walk in the future iniquities of their fathers, you know, the curses that are bound, that they're bound in. That we have, as a people, the opportunity to break off of our children, you know, like how pure we're able to make them. My heart is really knit for the next generation. I told you, right, Tammy? It's my heart, man, sincerely, with all my soul behind the scenes, I have such a care and such a love. I would die for the next generation. I don't know what it is, just that's part of my, you know, my role behind the scenes. I know I have such a tenderness in my heart for anyone, you know, 20s and under. I just do. And I love to hear children sing. It touches my heart. Hallelujah. I would pray that they all walk in the ways of the Most High. Let's enjoy a song together.
Thank you.
Mother Jennifer, end the show.
For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Yahweh, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O Yah, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Shalom.